Listen to this story in the work of Robert O. Becker. This one has to do with a link with cancer. As regeneration capability decreases, cancer increases, he believes. Worms virtually can't get cancer, like salamanders and most reptiles. However, humans have a much higher incidence of cancer and aren't able to regenerate much besides some skin and bones. A cancer transplanted on a salamander will eventually kill the salamander. The cancer spreads throughout the body. However, when the limb on which the cancer was implanted is amputated through the cancer, so half of the cancer remains, the salamander will invariably regenerate. The regeneration electrical impulses make the cancer convert into healthy tissue. And even when this experiment is repeated, when the cancer had already spread to other organs, it still works. All the tumors are converted into healthy tissue. We'll be back in a moment with our guest, Dr. Steve Hultiwanger, and the rest of your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Steve, is there any kind of new technology out there that is helpful to us in terms of the electrical smog that might be out there?
Oh, wow.
Because it all seems to be negative or bad for us.
Yes. I don't want to make claims that I can't substantiate, so I'm going to pass on that question right at the present time unless something comes to me.
Okay, very good. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. This is Bob Mundy in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, Bob.
And I'm calling. Hello. I'm calling about the Intero machine which has electrical acupuncture points.
We're losing your voice there, Bob.
Excuse me.
That's okay. The Intero.
Diagnosing over 13,000 illnesses with a printout, and then making an antidote electromagnetically into drops of water. Here in the Springfield area, over 4,000 patients in the last 20 years have seen dramatic results. I'd like to know what you think about the Intero machine.
Are you aware of this machine, Steve?
Yes, there is one of a number of types like this. I believe that's a German one.
Yes.
This technology is based on the original work of Dr. Vohl, where he discovered that you could homeopathically imprint frequencies into water. Now, this is quite controversial in mainstream medicine, and most people in mainstream will completely discount it, but it's got a great number of proponents around the world. People use it. What they do is they look at measuring the electrical currents running through your acupuncture points and sending frequencies of different materials back and forth and trying to find a balancing point, and that's how they're used. Now, they can be misused. But there's certainly some value in it.
Thank you, and God bless you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, I appreciate that. Steve, as you got into this different kind of medicine, you started off as a regular doctor, right?
Yes.
This started to change. Did you start seeing different kinds of results with people besides that B12 shot story you told me about?
What I did was I followed my observations. I was one of the doctors that would take a lot of time interviewing patients, and I always asked, what have you found that works in your life? And if you ask people, they'll often come across, when I did this, it worked. Then I would investigate that and find that other people had reported that. Then I'd go further. And I also collected books. I have about 17,000 scientific reference books in my library, and I've read extensively on different things. And it's just following your own observations and listening to your patients.
That's all it takes. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
Hi, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Steve.
Thank you.
I have a quick question for you. A really close friend of mine, just about 2 years ago, started having really bad chronic head migraines. And with all these talks of these amazing new electrical treatments, is there anything on the top of your mind that she should consider looking at?
Absolutely.
It's completely affected her life, and she's had medication after medication, and she says nothing's helped her out at all.
First off, I'd recommend going to alphastem.com and looking up the at-cranial electrical stimulators, first off. Number two, I have discovered through treating several thousand patients with migraines over my career and headache disorders that I used to have them go through several processes. One, I'd have them go to the vitamin store and buy every B vitamin separately, B1, B2, B3, B5, on and on, and literally take five or six of each one of them twice a day. And not all at one time. Take B1, take five of those twice a day for two or three days, see how that did. Then go over to the next one, B2, five twice a day. And what I found was just going through that, I would usually, about 40 to 50% of them, I would hit a vitamin. I actually had people that would take one B1 and they were gone, or B5, they were out of the headache. That's one aspect, because you're looking at bioenergetic systems, mitochondria, Krebs cycle, B-complex dependent, but on and on. Second thing was many of these people have coagulation difficulties and they have platelet thrombi, and proteolytic enzyme therapy has been helpful in a number of cases. So what I do is open up the circulation and turn on the energy production mechanisms of the body, and I had great success. Next thing is go through food sensitivities and look for foods and eliminate foods that might bring these on. But cranial electrical stimulation is the way, if I was going to use an electrical treatment, that would be the safest, most effective, and most researched.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
My name is Laura. I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Sure thing.
I just basically have some comments. I appreciate the topic very much, and I'll try to be quick. It may seem like I'm not getting to the point, but I will at the very
All
end.
All right. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll try to go real quick. your guest said that that the Russians have had maybe more technology in this area than we have. And I've actually read in the past, sorry, I don't have the specific quote, but that oftentimes when we hear that, it actually means the U.S. government just says it's the Russians, when it's actually the U.S. government is also interested in, they're going to be interested in any powerful technologies or whatever is in
sure,
vogue, like LSD in the 50s. This is a little strange. I have chronic fatigue syndrome, and I'm honestly not obsessed with this idea. So I think there's been this demonization by the media that someone who is paranoid or says, "Oh, the government is experimenting on me," it's like the perfect foil for them to have no one believe anyone who would say that, because there's immediately this link in the media that someone who says that is very crazy. And the honest truth is, I honestly may just have chronic fatigue and or depression and fibromyalgia. I honestly believe that. I'll be real brief here. I'll try to be kind of fast, but I have read things on the internet a lot about possible experimentation on unknowing humans. And also, I don't think like there's any important reason why like I'm being experimented on, you know, like the stereotypical idea of delusion of grandeur. Like I could be just a peon. But what I'm trying to say is the government has actually done this kind of thing before. I guess there was even a federal, can't remember who he was, but he commit suicide after unknowingly taking LSD. And I guess it's important for me to bring this up, and I really appreciate your show, especially the show you had with Nick Begich regarding
HARP. Upon HARP, sure.
Right, that we don't know a lot about that. And also all I want to say is that if it is happening, I also think there's probably like some kind of contractors doing it to sort of break the link, break the chain of like culpability, and maybe muddy the waters. So someone might be.
Okay, well, I want to get a quick reaction to Steve, because thank you for your call, by the way.
Well, I'm going to use Occam's razor, which is the simplest explanation, is most likely the right answer. In this case, unless she's involved in some kind of secret government research project they wanted to shut her up on, I doubt that's happened. And I doubt that would have, you know, it would be very, very really strange. Most likely, she's been exposed to a variety of problems, from infections to accumulation of toxins through a process called bioaccumulation. I'd look at the environment I lived in, the air I breathed, the water I drank, the food I ate, whether or not there are any infectious processes, particularly viruses involved. Those are most likely the reason.
By the way, that website, Alpha STEM, there's a dash between the alpha and the STEM.
Yes,
STEM.
Right.
Okay, great. All right, next up, let's go to our west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. This may seem a very, very weird question, but first of all, how does Dr. Steve spell his name? I got W-A-N-G-E-R as the last part, but what's the first part?
H-A-L-T-I.
H-A-L-T-I. W-A-N-G-E-R. Thank you so much. This is a very weird question,
G-E-R.
But it's the only place I can ask this. My mother died in June of an infection. Is there any possible way that her organs could be regenerated? And for other people, of course, she was buried, unfortunately, but what about people in cryogenics? I prefer for her, first of all, but that's my questions. Thank you so much.
Okay. At this time, we do not have the technology to bring back the dead. I've never seen that occur except in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. So I don't believe that's going to happen. As far as cryogenics, they haven't solved the problems of the how to reactivate the cells and bring them all back. So that's still an up-in-the-air issue.
And, of course, I'm convinced one day, Stephen, who knows when, what they'll do is clone people and then download memory before someone dies into a chip, and then they'll upload it back into the clone, and the person will live forever.
That's possible. But there's something else even more probable is going to happen. We can take cells out of your body and de-differentiate them back into tissue and then put them back and heal the area. That theoretically is possible based on Brecker's work, as well as some other people that followed along behind him. Why we're not doing that is a mystery to me.
Yep, that would be dramatic. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. My name is Beth. I'm calling from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Hi, Beth.
Two questions. One, I have macular retinal degeneration, and I'm wondering about the possibilities for regenerating retinal tissue. I've been told that is not possible. And the other question for the doctor, please, is what do you think of radionics?
I don't want to get arrested this week. Well, let's put it this way. It's not widely permitted in the United States, and anybody that gets into it is pretty much put out of business. So I've never investigated it for personal use. I'm familiar with practitioners of it, and I'm quite astounded. If you get into some of the phenomenon called photon entanglement and some of the Russian research by, I'll think of his name in it, Popanov, the people that did the DNA phantom effect, have Garinev and Popanov, I think his name, they've actually done some work with that, regenerating tissue at a distance using what they call the witnesses, which is to me sounds like a radionics mechanism. So that's that's as far as I'll go with that.
And what about regenerating retinal tissue?
There is some work being done in that area. I'm trying to think of the doctor's name. She's an ophthalmologist, and she has used electromagnetic field stimulation. I would recommend going to the website or go to Google and looking up and see if you can find macular degeneration electrical stimulation. You may be able to find her website.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate that. With Becker still being alive, doing some work, still probably underfunded, do you ever think that somebody somewhere will come forward and help this guy out, maybe a Microsoft guru or somebody like that?
They should. I mean, he's basically should have gotten the Nobel Prize at least twice.
Yes. Yes. Hey, how much money would it take for him to just keep doing what he's doing?
You know, $50 million, you could probably be regenerating organs right now.
You've got to be kidding.
No, I'm not. I mean, it's not that difficult an experiment. It's just you have to follow. You've got to find the waveform, the frequency, how to apply them. He's discovered a lot about silver electrodes, which is phenomenal. I mean, we started off with stainless steel electrodes. Then they went into, silver platinum electrodes. Now he's using silver electrode fabric, impregnated fabric with silver in it to get a wide spectrum charge. And so if you're just doing an electrode, you only get like a centimeter of stimulation. But if you're putting a piece of fabric with silver in it as a conductor, you can basically treat square feet.
All right, Wildcard Line, it's your turn on Coast to Coast with us.
Hi. My name is Ruben. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Hi, Ruben.
Daly City, actually, same as the previous caller. Well, I believe that we can actually heal ourselves and without the use of any technology. And so my question is, would it be feasible to utilize technology to basically train ourselves to emit the same type of frequencies so that we don't have to use the technology and use our hands, for instance, to heal whatever ails us?
You're absolutely correct. This has been known in every culture about self-healing. I mean, basically, Hippocrates, the body heals itself. I mean, Becker's work, the body heals itself. All he was doing with him was trying to discover what mechanisms the body was using from electrical forces to initiate the healing. But yes, you can do feedback equipment. And there's so much. I mean, I like this idea of this magnetic helmet. You literally can start. I anticipate down the road we'll be probably, if we're not already doing it, controlling a aircraft. You know, with somebody sitting maybe in California and flying something over.
Oh, they're experimenting with that right now.
Yes,
as we speak.
Absolutely. But I'm talking about magnetic helmet thought control.
Yes,
aircraft.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Problem with that. I've always wondered what would happen though if a pilot just let his brain wander. You know, I mean, you know how difficult it is to concentrate on something 100% all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, who knows what he'd be thinking about? His dessert? Who knows what? I wonder what would happen to that plane.
Who knows?
Next up, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, hi, George and Doctor. The question about trans fatty acids. I know you brought it up before, but when I once read about the reason why we hydrogenated things was because it was a process brought from Europe to the United States to turn liquid soap into bar soap. And some entrepreneurs said, you know what, why don't we just do it with oil to make things what we once known as, George, you and I were in the age category about oleomargarine.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, you know what? They did that to the troops and stuff like that. Well, you know what? We've done that for so many years with trans fatty acids, and the hydrogenation process literally clogged up our arteries so much. Are we out of the woods? Because I keep seeing that now we're seeing all the different things about, no trans fats, none of this, none of that. But you know what? What about what damage have we done to ourselves with hydrogenation we can't get it back. I mean, are we out of the woods? Are we processing ourselves further to make sure everything's okay? Because I'm sorry, the thing is that these trans fatty acids have really polluted our arteries so badly. And are we out of the woods?
Well, not completely, but I'll refer you first to Mary Enig, E-N-I-G. I think she has a book called Fat and Oils. But she's done some of the original research on trans fatty acids and been instrumental in getting people to take them out of food groups. Next, it does affect significantly the communication system of the body, both chemical and electronic communication, by changing the cell membrane chemical and physical properties.
All right, stay with us. We'll be back with final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM with our guest, Dr. Steve Haltewanger. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, did you sell your soul to the devil somewhere in your life, and are you sure you did not? We'll find out more about the forces of the dark side from a classic Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin entitled Perfect Possession, and it's still available free to After Dark subscribers when they subscribe or renew. You can call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Here's a look at the week ahead. On our next Coast to Coast program, our guest will be Stephen Quayle. Stephen will be updating us on this enormous creature reportedly found buried near the North Pole, as well as some recent reports of giant encounters out that way. Tuesday, Richard C. Hoagland heads up a panel to talk about intelligent design. Wednesday, Will Hart. His book is called Atlantis Rising, sharing some insight into uncovering our cosmic ancestry. And then on Thursday, we're going to talk about haunted lighthouses, and also it's the anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald with our guest Mark Gumbinger right here on Coast to Coast. And then, of course, Friday, it'll be back to open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Final segment with our guest, Dr. Steve Haltiwanger, and phone call. Steve, do you know anything about niacin flushing by any chance?
Yes, that was popularized by L. Ron Hubbard in his detox strategies and his Dianetics book.
It's supposed to be good for you, I guess, right?
Well, the way of doing that is basically niacin flushing is to increase blood flow to the extremities and then get an infrared sauna, which will actually cause you to sweat out. It's called fat sweat, and you release chemicals from your pores. Now, you have to be careful with niacin flushing because some people get very sick with it. It causes extreme itching, so I wouldn't start off with a high dose. I would start very slowly, like 25 or 50 milligrams, and work up, because if you start off high, you will be really miserable.
Does it go away?
Oh, yeah, but you'll feel like you're on fire for about an hour.
What happens to your skin?
It flushes out, then it calms back down. But some people are very sensitive, and they'll take too much niacin, and it'll feel like they're on fire, literally. It's the most miserable experience you could experience.
I mean, and does it stay on your body for like days and weeks?
No, it passes within an hour or so, but you'll think that you're going to die.
That bad. Okay, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Francis George. Could you please tell me about, it's called neuropathy. It's the feet, and it's a very debilitating thing. Could your doctor please tell us about neuropathy? Is there anything we could do about that?
Yes, actually quite a few things you can do. Boy, there's books on this. I've given lectures on nutritional treatments of neuropathy. Basically, you need to know what type you have. If it's diabetic, usually it's oxidative stress. There's work on alpha lipoic acid that's been done on that. A B vitamin called benfotiamine, benfotiamine. Another thing you want to look at is the active form of B6 called pyridoxal 5-phosphate. But you really have to know what you're dealing with. The alpha lipoic acid is probably the most well studied treatment for neuropathy, but you have to provide a combination of substances to deal with the oxidative stress.
The combination of the electromagnetic treatments, Steve, and nutritional supplements, is that a home run for eradicating ourselves from these problems?
Well, I don't know if it's going to eradicate, but it's certainly beneficial. Let me think about it this way. Your cell has a membrane around it that controls entry of nutrients in and toxins out. As you age and get disease, you have problems transporting. It's like an old truck. Now, all of a sudden, it's barely getting up and down the hill, so you just can't transport as well. When you provide the proper type of electromagnetic therapy and you preload with nutrients, you can actually get the nutrients into the tissues 30-40% better. And all of a sudden, you can turn on a process, and this is what I've done for the last 20 years, and this is how I discovered electromagnetic therapies were working, by making these observations and reading research in this area.
Okay, next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask the doctor a couple questions, or tell him one thing, that I have Parkinson's. I'm 79, and I have Parkinson's, and I have had it for a little over a year. And the medicine that the neurologist gave me didn't agree with me. It made me dizzy, made me sick, made me depressed. And somebody mentioned acupuncture, and I can now eat without spilling my food, and it's wonderful. And I was wondering if he knows of any HMOs that will pay for this. It's very expensive.
Wow.
And also, I was very depressed over it, and I got through that, too, with the acupuncture in the head.
Well, the acupuncture works, Steve. No doubt about that. I don't know if you know about HMOs, do you?
No, I don't know anything. I know that you'd have to call your insurance provider and find that out.
Great. Thanks for the call. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. Joe from Massachusetts.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Oh, so. I have a couple of quick questions. One is about research and one is on cancer, because sure. I may or may not have the big C. We'll find that out later.
Well, let's hope not.
I know, but that's the way it goes. It's voice. Doctor, my question is, are you willing to, because I have a myriad of symptoms. If I stay up and I try to sleep, I can't sleep. I get real hot and cold at the same time, and like I have a hard time breathing. It's like difficulty breathing. Are you willing to fund a research project for people that are on low income that could come down and stay there and you could try these treatments? Because, as you know, they're not accepted by a lot of the establishment medical treatment. And, you know, vitamins and stuff are very expensive, and there's too much bickering and fighting back and forth between the agencies. And, you know, one group of doctors hates another. Insurance company says it's poo-poo. They should be willing to try these things and work it out if it works. Because I've been fascinated by electromagnetic therapy. I've heard of cranial stimulation for people that have depression. They put it in their brain. They even use it for Parkinson's, and it sends a little signal. Some of it is electrical, and some of it is a magnetic impulse. They showed that on TV, but that's very expensive. Can you people do something like this and get something like this going? I'd be willing to participate and not even get paid. I don't care. I just want to get...
You just want the treatment.
Absolutely, get back on my feet.
Well, there's so many factors here you've already talked about. Number one, I would not put implant electrodes into anybody before I tried surface contact therapies. There are so many possibilities between microcurrent therapies or cranial electrical stimulators that they've got many articles out there in the literature. I have an entire file cabinet drawer just on that area alone, showing benefits, so you don't have to go to implantable devices.
And people buy those electrostimulants, and there some of the machines for life work. I know there's ones that are $2,000 or $3,000, and a lot of us don't have the money. But go on with your answer.
Well, you can look at. We've already mentioned the website several times. I'm not affiliated with the company. I just know Daniel Kirsch. He's a pioneer in electronic medicine, who's the one that invented the alpha-stim.com. But we use my technology also was very successful for what we do with our LifeWay patches example. I'm the research director of that. That's what I do for a living, is we use that to turn on cellular energy production, and then the cells are use the energy to help repair themselves.
And people contact you offline?
I'm the research director. I am. I don't do any private consultations.
No, I mean just contact you to see if you can get some help. And what about researching a project? Do any of these companies are willing to do research for people like us who would like to get the treatment?
Well, there's a lot of people doing research now.
I mean, put us on a program with them.
Well, you can contact the AlphaStim people. Maybe they're involved in a research project. They got projects going on around the country.
What's it, ALPH?
ALPHA-STIM.
Yeah, okay. We wound up being a commercial for AlphaStim. But, this is just a very effective therapy.
Okay, let's go to our first-time caller line. Thank you, Joe, for your call. Hi there.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Foxworth, Mississippi.
Hi, Cynthia.
I have a question for the doctor. My daughter is 25, and she was diagnosed a couple of years ago with alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, and she has a cirrhosis of the liver. And he mentioned a few minutes ago about something about a misfolded protein, and I think if I understand this disease correctly, that's a problem. And I was just trying to find out if there might be something I could do, maybe a cure or treatment or something for my daughter. My granddaughter also has this same disease.
That is basically still on the research stage. I've come across this patent on this. As far as theoretical basis, I mean, if it's a folded protein, then you could theoretically calculate the resonant frequency of that protein and find a delivery system that could provide that resonant frequency. That would be a theoretical way of approaching that condition.
Okay, do you know if essential oils, I know I've read that they change the frequency in your body if you like inhale them.
Yeah, but they're not specific for one protein like that.
Okay. Another question. She was also diagnosed with scleroderma in 2000, where her left leg became stiff, and the patches on her leg moved down her leg onto her foot and then across to her right foot and upstarted up her right leg. And it also got in her left hand and made her hand stiff. And I read someplace about an herb, gotchacola, and this herb cured her. of scleroderma, and it softened the tissue up, and her tissue is beginning to be normal again. And I was wondering if this herb that softened this tissue on her leg could the cirrhosis is hardening the liver. Could that soften her liver tissue?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not an herbologist. I can tell you that I have some experience with some infectious processes associated with scleroderma, so I'm wondering if that's with the liver tissue. Oftentimes, it's an oxidative stress mechanism, and they're finding some analogs of vitamin A are helpful in some cases.
Okay, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Let's move next to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, my name is John. I'm calling from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Hello, John. Go ahead.
Hello. Dr. Haldewanger.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if I have a relative who had a stroke a few years ago, and I'm wondering if you have any information you could point me to regarding reversing brain damage.
There, I don't remember his first name. There's a Dr. Rind, R-I-N-D, in Georgetown, who developed something called a Rind protocol, R-I-N-D. It's an IV therapy that I actually saw when I was at Georgetown Medical School giving a lecture. He did a video showing stroke patients getting this IV. It's basically a nutrient-based therapy built on the Myers cocktail, which is an older therapy, but he added some new components to it. Okay. That is one thing. There's a guy named David Steenblock, S-T-E-E-N-B-L-O-C-K, I think. He has a website on stroke rehabilitation. He uses hyperbaric oxygen, so you maybe put in hyperbaric and Steenblock, you probably would find his website. But basically with strokes, you have an area of death, and then you have a area of hibernation. And my work has shown if you can turn on the energy production mechanisms of those hibernating neurons, you can actually get quite a bit of functionality back.
Okay, I'm going to check into that.
All right, I appreciate it. When you bombard the brain with electromagnetic waves, do they do so in treatment? Does it help? Because how can it help on one end and then hurt on another if you're like sleeping by your clock?
Well, first off, there's dose. How can water help you save your life, but drowning in a swimming pool?
Good point.
Can kill you? Good point. Secondly, if you have the proper dose with electromagnetic therapy, you also have what's called an electric antioxidant effect, which we haven't even discussed tonight.
What is that?
Well, that's, you know how we give vitamin C to as a health benefit?
Yeah.
And it's a chemical way of carrying two electrons. If you have the waveform of vitamin C, you can actually give the antioxidant effect without giving the chemical.
Interesting. That's a new science, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I've been, that's why I got into this, because I realized this is going to be the future.
Wild card line, it's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, I'm calling about something that I think might be really interesting with this raging abortion question. There was a man named Harold Saxon Burr, who was a teacher of doctors at Yale, and he probably, Cleve Baxter, who was on the show some months back, might know this man. He had a mini voltage device or very sensitive instrument that measured around a person. For example, if they were going to break their legs, even 3 days from now, it would show up on the sensitive device.
Assuming it wasn't one of those an accident type thing.
No,
right?
It was just like it would show up ahead of time.
Even if it was just a pure accident?
Yes.
That's interesting.
And then the second thing is, if the mother, a female was pregnant, there would be a second force field show up, and it would be floating. Sometimes in the womb area and sometimes in the force field of the mother. So it would kind of prove that the spirit of the baby-to-be perhaps is not so fully embodied, and it might make some interesting insights, at least, into this raging abortion question.
That is an interesting
Harold Saxon
Burr. I thought perhaps that Steve, you might have somebody that would replicate the late Harold Saxon Burr's work. He wrote a book called The Fields of Life.
And The Blueprint of Life.
Yes, he's written other books, too. And I thought perhaps that maybe you might know somebody who would replicate that and solve this blooming problem that's been raging. Because when Harold Saxon Burr did his work, it was long before, it was right back in the 30s or 40s.
Jeez, 70 years ago? My God.
It was many years ago. Yeah. I think he died in 1980. Anyway, he did major work, as I recall, in the But anyway, because he was at Yale, I thought Cleve Baxter would be perfect because he did work with sensitive instruments on plants.
That he did.
And but maybe there's others out there who would replicate that because science needs replication.
Why don't they go ahead with that, Steve?
Well, commercial.
Here we go.
Who's
right?
going to fund it? I mean, if you fund this type of research,
and it works.
How's it going to impact on other people's commercial interests?
Right. Right. And how do you make money on it?
Right. That's it. And Harold, you can get Harold Saxon Bird's work. He was the editor of the Yale Journal of Biology and Medicine. So if you have access to that old journal, you can find some of his original papers.
West of the Rockies, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Fort Worth, Texas. Yes, I wanted to ask the doc about, I met a lady in a social event, and she worked for a psychiatrist or a mental institution. I had a really bad problem with my neck. I had gotten whiplash a long time ago, and it flares up, and I mean, it's just like a crick in the neck. It never goes away. Well, it went on for 2 or 3 weeks. When I met her, she had a little silver gun-looking thing with a trigger on it, and it clicked, you know, like a little clicker, and she clicked. It was clicked it on several points of my back,
right.
And my knees went weak, but it cleared up my neck.
She was using, I believe, a piezoelectric device with a quartz crystal in it to deliver a shock, electrical shock to your acupuncture points.
And I guess that works.
Yes.
Okay, we have time for maybe one more quick call. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Cleveland, Ohio, 1100 AM. This is Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Yeah, I can listen off the air, but have you ever heard of an element called germanium?
Yes, germanium.
And how does that work? I'll take it off the air.
All right. What is that used for, Steve? Do we know?
If I remember right, it has some semiconducting properties, and there are people have postulated it may improve the semiconducting properties of the human body. That's one aspect. It also has some antioxidant properties, too. It's not something I've researched quite a bit, but they do use it in computer chips.
Well, that's true. They do. Properties of elements. Let's see what else they say. We've only got about a minute left. Maybe I can get it in time for this individual. They also ingest it.
Yes. Huh. Germanium sesquioxide, I think is it.
Yep, you're right. They use it for semiconductors and all kinds of things. Okay, the website again, one more time.
It's lifewave.com/sweetpea. And if they can't get through to that, they can call an 800 number, 800-729-2603.
Very good. Steve, thanks for an enlightening evening. And the one thing I've learned, in addition to everything else you talked about, I'm going to check all those appliances and things around the house.
Yeah, maybe I can come on another night and talk about some other research.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Steve Holtewinger. For Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, and Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. We're talking giants. Until then, be safe, everyone.